Last week we started into a new series talking about the gifts, the things that God has entrusted to our care. And last week we were talking about time management, how we steward those steward our time well. Just kind of asking some questions about, well, what do we do with our time? Where do we invest that resource that God has given to us? And over this series, we'll be talking about time, talent, treasure, and trees. And this morning, since yesterday was Earth Day, we're going to dive into trees. And actually, there's a theme of trees that kind of runs throughout Scripture. Of course, trees play a prominent role in Genesis, especially chapter 3. And the image of the tree is kind of keeps coming up throughout Scripture, and sometime we'll spend a series just kind of looking at that theme and how that gets developed throughout Scripture. But this morning we're going to be looking at our stewardship of creation, or what we sometimes call creation care, and looking at how we steward or utilize that resource. And in the coming weeks, we'll be looking at how we utilize our spiritual gifts and talents, and look at how we steward our financial resources as well. Now, let me start off by saying something seems odd in talking about creation care in the church. My experience in church, actually growing up, spoke very little about creation care. For some reason, creation care often seemed to be the realm of the secular world, or seemed to have precious little to do with spiritual things. So it seems odd that the church would have allowed creation care to become politicized in the way that it has. Actually, some of the most conservation-minded folks that I know are actually pretty politically conservative. Seems odd that we would need to convince the church that it has a, I believe, a God-ordained role in caring for and stewarding creation, of utilizing it wisely, helping to repair creation when it's broken, and passing along to the next generation a better creation, a better natural world than what we found it. Somehow, that has been a conversation we've allowed to happen largely outside of the church, as if Scripture doesn't have a whole lot to say about the way that you and I care for God's creation. So we're going to be looking at this passage in Genesis, primarily, and just looking at what does it mean for us as followers of Jesus to care for the natural world around us. As we do that, would you pray with me? Excuse me. God, we gather on a beautiful morning with green all around us, buds coming up and filling out the trees, having experienced something of your power in storms yesterday. As we gather and read the story of creation, as we think about what it means for our lives, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing to you, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me start by asking some questions. What places in God's creation have you experienced awe? You've gone out into God's creation. Where have you just kind of been in awe of God's creation? Grand Canyon, and I missed the last part. Yes. Grand Canyon, Pennsylvania, too, maybe, but yes, the Grand Canyon. All right.
The beauty of the flowering trees.
The beauty of the flowering trees. Yeah. Yeah, seeing those stars, especially when you're out west and you don't have that light pollution. Someone was going to say something over here. Sunsets.
Puerto Rico.
Just the whole place.
Rainbows everywhere.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
The Badlands.
And I have to echo that. I went to South Dakota with a youth work camp a number of years ago, and it was my first experience going through the Badlands, which, you know, I'm like, I guess I understand why it was given that name, but I'm like, what an amazing place to drive through and just be in awe of God's creation in a place called the Badlands. Yeah. Another experience of mine on that same trip, we were on the Pine Ridge Reservation, and we were up on some hills and just able to see for hundreds of miles. And it was just amazing to take in that beauty. And I have to echo that when you get out at night and don't have that light pollution from other places and just take in the vastness of the starry night, it is wonderful. I'll say one of the other places that I've had opportunities to sit in awe of God's creation is even at Camp Swatara, just going out and enjoying that. And if I worked there a couple summers, and occasionally you're not chasing kids around, and you know it's not chaotic, and you can just enjoy the beauty of the rock pile, or just looking out over the valley, or different being out in the outdoor cathedral and being in the middle of those trees is just an awesome experience. My next question is, when have you experienced the effects of poor management or stewardship of creation? And how did that make you feel? You've been in a natural place and you've been like, that's not right. Yeah.
I've seen the strip mines in Kentucky years ago, and it just made me feel very sad.
All right. The strip mines, everything just kind of being torn away.
They used to have a stream in York County. They used to call it the Inky Stinky Cadores, and it was terrible. There were no fish in it, no wildlife whatsoever.
Yeah, so the pollution stuff that had happened in the water there, killing off the fish and things like that. Yep. There's you're out walking and there's all kinds of stuff out. Or I've even been hiking and it's not just like a little bit of litter. It's like somebody has dumped stuff in the middle of the woods. And I'm always like, oh, really? I mean, there's like places for that. And yeah. Well, what we read this morning out of Genesis, and of course, this is a part of the Bible that we have read many, many times. And I think of all the times throughout my life that I've tried to do the Bible in a year, of course, I always get to that part. I always make it through Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, and then it's later in the year that where you get bogged down and everything like that. But I've read this creation account before. And there are lots of passages throughout Scripture, especially in the Psalms that we could have read this morning, that would talk about the wonder of God's creation, that would proclaim the wonder of the Creator God. The ancient poets seem to sit in awe and wonder of the natural world and properly glorifying God for the world that they experienced around them. For me, creation care is grounded in the very beginning of the biblical narrative in a garden where the dirt man and the woman of life are introduced. And here in Genesis 1, God is breathing creation itself into existence, and as an artist admiring their artwork, God is kind of stepping back each day and saying, wow, this is good. This is good. This is wonderful. You know, he doesn't say this is wonderful. That's my interpretation. I think after a while, it'd just be like, wow. It's God, so God can step back and say, wow, I'm good. This is wonderful. This is just something to take in. And I'm so glad then, I believe God would say, to share this with my creation. In Genesis 1, God is breathing creation itself into existence and keeps saying this is good. And then the crowning achievement of creation in Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. God's talking about breathing and creating humankind. And here's where I find another odd thing that we've done in the church when I read that passage. You know, we have some rather large debates in the church, around the church, debates over how literal to understand the time of creation. For some, this is 24-hour days, just as we understand time now. For some, these are seven periods of time where we quote to God, 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. And for others, this is an inspired literary framework displaying the creative order of God. Genesis 1 is poetry. The literary structure helps to highlight the cosmic temple which God is constructing with creation. And the culmination of that temple construction is the installation of God's image bearer, his icon, his image, humanity, that he places in the middle of that temple. And we have huge debates over how exactly to read this story. How literal do we need to be with this story? And we can debate these different views, but it seems we've often skipped over verse 26 and have interpreted it not only non-literally, but we haven't even taken it seriously. When God says, let us, and there's lots of discussion about who God is talking to or if it's the royal us, let us make humankind, the word there is Adam, human ones, not talking specific characters in Genesis 1, but humankind. Let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness. And we can have all kinds of things to unpack just from that phrase about what it means for us to be made in the image of God. But for our purposes, I would say this includes the ability to be creative, to express ourselves creatively. It's part of what it means to be created in the image of God and to further the order and to be able to manage creation. God says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Let them have dominion over the creation. Now let me ask a question. What comes to mind when you hear the word dominion, current events notwithstanding?
Control.
Oversight.
Caretaker.
Responsibility. Caretakers. I think sometimes I wish that some of our current Bible interpreters might pick some other word for dominion, because I think we often tend to have dominion I don't really have issues with. It's when we get into like domination, where I assign that with like it's about power over and control over something in a very coercive way. And I don't think that that's what the writer of Genesis, I don't think that's what God is calling us to do, is to just be coercive in our relationship with creation. And yet, in the church's history, there are times where that's the way that this passage has been interpreted, that we need to dominate creation. We need to have control and enforce our will on the creation. But I think the words that you brought up with manage and steward, those are kind of the ideas that the writer and God is trying to get across to us. In the ancient world, kings would often have statues made of their likeness or the or their image, and these representations would be placed around the kingdom, and they were a reminder to the people of who was in charge. Even though that the king might not be present physically in that town of the kingdom, it was a reminder of who was ultimately in charge, who the king was. And so God brings in his images into creation and places them around. Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann relates dominion to that of a shepherd over sheep who cares for, tends, and feeds the animals. He goes on to say, moreover, a Christian understanding of dominion must be discerned in the way of Jesus of Nazareth. The one who rules is the one who serves. Lordship means servanthood. It is the task of the shepherd not to control, but to lay down his life for the sheep. The human person is ordained over the remainder of creation, but for its profit, well-being, and enhancement. The role of the human person is to see to it that the creation becomes fully the creation willed by God. And so it is humanity's role. Their first task given to them by God at creation is to be stewards, managers of God's creation, to partner with God in bringing further creative order and beauty, managing things. You see, part of the human's first role is naming and classifying these animals and seeing what's all out there. Again, bringing further order to God's good creation. So why should Christians care or be concerned about the created world, about our environment? And why do we need to learn to be better stewards? Maybe the first reason is because we care about future generations. I'll say, as someone with young kids, I've wondered what kind of world we will leave behind to them in all kinds of ways, not least of which is the problems, the concerns of our created world that we will leave behind for them. A warming planet with decreasing biodiversity and a growing food scarcity problem. The second reason I think Christians should be concerned and should learn to be better stewards is because as part of what it means to seek the shalom of our community, we need to be concerned about God's creation. How we steward and encourage others to steward creation, whether as individuals or corporations or government, the created world is connected to all of us. And when the climate warms, it means icebergs melting, but it also means rising water for people living in coastal areas. It means changing weather patterns and extreme weather patterns that folks all around our world have been experiencing. And even those living hundreds of miles from the coast. Climate change impacts the poorest and the most vulnerable people in our world because of changes in growing seasons. And if you don't think that that's having an effect on us now, go to the grocery store. There's all kinds of reasons for the increased price of food, but some of that is because of the vulnerability of our food systems when it comes to climate. Those with money can afford to pay the higher prices of food when demand for food rises above the supply of food. And yes, I think creation is there for us to be used, but done so in responsible ways. And as humanity learns more, we should try to become better stewards or shepherds of creation. And the third reason I think we should care about creation is because that's our original vocation. Stewarding creation is the original calling of the human ones. It's the task given to Adam and Eve in the garden. To have dominion, to share in this creative process. Even before the fall of the human ones, male and female are to play a role in the continuing creative order making of the natural world. N.T. Wright talks about humans being co-regents, co-governors of creation under God, working as agents who are empowered by God to continue to rule and steward creation. So loving God means trying to live out God's calling on our lives. And part of what that means is being good stewards over the parts of creation that we have been blessed to manage. Now, I know as soon as we start to move towards talking about how we make a difference, people, and how practically we apply this, people start to think that I'm bringing politics into the pulpit. Whether reducing the amount of fossil fuels or lowering carbon emissions or putting solar panels on your roof, now I'm bringing politics into the pulpit. And I know that none of these discussions about creation care is simplistic. When we talk about reducing our reliance on one resource, we run the risk then of pillaging another resource. We mine and strip out other non-renewable resources. And I'm not sure the overall problem is because we can't agree on the one solution to fix our environment issues. Maybe part of our current creation stewardship problem is our ignorance, whether that's willful or not, and our apathy, that we just don't care. We think that caring about our world and our creation is not a spiritual issue. I don't think we need to become radical environmentalists chaining ourselves to trees. I do think we need to be more aware of our impact on God's creation. And I think we need to take practical steps to manage and to steward God's creation well. I do think we need to look at how we can each become better stewards of God's beautiful, creative, natural resources. I want you to imagine for a moment that someone that you loved deeply came to you and wanted you to look at a piece of art or a story or something that they've spent a lot of time and creative energy pouring themselves into, and they wanted you to take a look at it. I think of, you know, an art project or a programming project that one of my kids brings to me and says, "Dad, look at this. Look what I made. Look what I created." Now, what would it be like if I said, "Oh, it's really neat," tore their project up, tore it to pieces, threw it in the trash can, but said, "I love you"? What do you think their experience of that would be like? Yeah. taking something that somebody has poured their creative selves into, and we take it and we tear it apart, but we say, it's okay, I love you. And I think sometimes we do that with God's creation. The artist comes and says, look at what I've created. The sunset, the Badlands, the Grand Canyon. Look at this beautiful, intricate world that I've created, that I've placed you in. And we take it, and we just tear it. We say, but it's okay, I love you. I wonder sometimes why we, or why I, have not shown the same kind of love and respect for the masterpiece of creation that God has made, and allowed humans to continue the creative process and shared with us in love. I think creation care is a spiritual issue. How do we care for the beautiful masterpiece of the creative God who spoke creation into existence, breathing God's life into creation? And how does the gospel news connect with creation? That Jesus is Lord. That all those that claim Jesus is Lord have been given the ministry of reconciliation, of loving God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving neighbor as self. Caring about creation, stewarding it well, is one way we might live out and demonstrate the good news of the kingdom of God. And one day we believe creation will be made right and returned to the way God intended it to be. And at the center, a tree for the healing of the nations. I think each of us plays a role in how we steward God's creation well. And I hope I didn't want to leave you with simplistic, idealistic answers, because it's complicated. And we do it imperfectly. But we all play a role and how we steward and care for God's creation. This morning, as we close our worship service, we'll be singing. I used to love singing this song at camp. I didn't know it was a hymn until later in my life that it was in the hymn book. I used to sing it at camp. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. It's quoting scripture, and it is creation itself praising and proclaiming the goodness and the majesty of God. And so as we close our worship, let us lift our voices with creation itself in praise to the creative God. Would you stand and turn in your blue hymnals to 427?